This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's February 17th, episode 851, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, and welcome to the show. Jamie, I hope that you have March the 8th open and that you're able to take a little road trip, because you made a promise to somebody last Wednesday that now you're going to have to keep.
No, the promise was not made, Glenn. I would like to point out the suggestion was made if it was going to be a two-way street to the information coming back to me. You know what I mean? Like, it was not. Go ahead.
Are you trying to get out of this?
You're talking about. No, I would love to go. However, I would like you to know that I will at that weekend be wine tasting up in Northern California. So that wins. Go ahead, though. Tell everybody what happened. I'm kind of irritated that he didn't tell me this ahead of time. If I'd have known, I could have planned.
Mucho Macho Man, they decided that to not run Mucho Macho Man for the Dubai Cup for $10 million on March 29th, and they're going to run Mucho Macho Man instead in the $750,000 Santa Anita Handicap on March the 8th. And the reason that they're giving is apparently he had an unbelievable workout the other morning, and they think he's peaking and they have to get him in a race soon, is what I understood. Is that what you understood from the articles?
Yeah, not that he's just peaking, that he's just ready to go. And, you know, Dubai would be quite a travel and all that. And, yeah, exactly what you said. He's ready to go right now. I would like you to know that I am absolutely crushed that I'm going to be with – and, I could not go and spend time with Chad's family. I could be like, guys, I'm not going. I got to go to a horse race. But I'm crushed that I can't go. I'm just devastated.
It doesn't sound too bad that you're going to be tasting wine in Northern California. That's not a bad option. So.
I know. It could be worse. I mean, it's a family that, you know, it's Chad's family's vacation. So, by the way, I won't be there on the Friday before that. But yes, I can't believe I'm going to miss it. And you're exactly right. He's ready to run. And, you know, to win the San Diego Handicap, just to be there is awesome. But if they win that thing, my gosh, that horse is un-frickin' stoppable.
And Game On Dude's going to be running in that race, apparently,
well,
also.
Forget that. He's going to lose. Game On Dude, yes. Running the game. It's like, I'll just place a bet. I'll have Chad place a huge bet on Game On Dude, and Mucho Macho Man will obviously win.
There you go. Make sure he bets the trifecta, too, for about $100.
Yeah. Salt in the wound. The double salt. I've been assaulted. This is so horrible.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine, we are really not ready for it to be Monday yet, Monday edition. We will open with our first of two live reports from Wellington. This one compliments of Dressage Radio Show host Grace Kofler-Stanfield, who is over the moon happy to be attending the Global Dressage Forum far, far away from the subarctic city of Lexington, Kentucky. Mid-program, we will enjoy a tour of the Horse Nation Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility Sportswear North America. And for our grand finale, Emily Thompson from S Equestrian is back with another live report from Wellington, self-proclaimed winter center of the equestrian universe, this time from the jumpy side of the showgrounds. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And of course, it's President's Day, everybody. So happy President's Day. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Katie. I think it's Bachhuber. I think that's how you say. Sorry, Katie, if I screwed up your name. But she posted on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, our group Distance Riding Association of Wisconsin bought vests from High Visibility Sportswear for the End of the Year Awards after hearing about them on your show. And she posted a picture of everybody holding up their vests that they won. Thank you for posting that, Katie. We do love when people support our sponsors that you posted on our page because we're able to share that with the sponsors as well and let them know that their advertising is working, which is what keeps us on the air. So all of that is a good thing, and Katie, thank you so much. From the Distance Riding Association of Wisconsin, who knew there was one? So,
yeah.
No idea. We have to get Katie on to talk about that because I have no idea what they are or what they do. But we appreciate you supporting our sponsors. Thank you so much.
Well, I have two today. And the first one, do you remember, Glenn? I mean, I remember. Do you remember when I went to Spain and I interviewed Rafael Soto? He was at the Royal Andalusian School of Equestrian Art there in Jerez, Spain, and I got to talk to him. He was the silver medalist for the Olympic Games in Atlanta on a horse named Invasor, the only Andalusian to ever actually medal in the Olympics. And if you go back, you can listen to our interview with Rafael Soto. Well, the good news is, Rafael has just been appointed as trainer for the Spanish national dressage team for the World Equestrian Games in France. So really big deal for him. Yeah, very, very cool. And then on a sad note, Invasor just recently passed away. I just am getting the news. But he actually passed away in his sleep in his stall. It was like 25-year-old giant Andalusian stallion. So we send our best to him, but congratulations also to Rafael for being the World Equestrian Games coach for Spain.
Very good.
Are you guys ready? Are you ready for the greatest news of all time? I mean, we should have trumpets playing. We should have, you know, balloons dropping from the ceiling. It is that kind of good news, Glenn. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Currently, as of today, single injection dog sterilization is becoming available.
That's not what I expected.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting you're pregnant again.
Let that go. But just let that go. Every time I say I have news,
Jet got instantly healthy. I was expecting.
Yeah, none of my horses are lame. All of them are healthy. No, that's not true.
You're going to the Olympics? No, none of that.
No. The greatest news of all time is none of those things, Glenn. The greatest news is that animal welfare in the U.S. and other countries is about to get a huge boost. And if you've read anything about the Sochi Games and the mass extermination of stray dogs, like, it's just heartbreaking. Well, officially, a product called Zeuterin, Zeuterin, is now available. It is a shot that sterilizes a male dog for life. For life! Let me repeat that. You give a dog a shot. Now they do have to give it in the who. But it sterilizes them for life.
Tell me that part.
Well, it is because they sedate them. The way that they do it, it takes like 20 minutes. It's insane. So they knock the dog out, give them the injection, wake them up and send them home. The whole process from checking them in to getting them back, it takes like half an hour. It is such an amazing thing that has now been discovered, and there's nothing bad with it. It is 99.6% of the cases. Of course, they've tested like thousands and thousands of animals now. It was permanent sterilization, and it cost $20. $20 to do it. It just absolutely unbelievable. This is so exciting for the, you know, spay, neuter, geld, and vaccinate them. But, you know, whatever you can do, it's such a cool thing. So I'm super excited. They had a zooterathon in L.A. last weekend. 75 dogs were sterilized in a few hours.
Can I say they blew the name? Instead of, what was it again?
Zooterin.
Why didn't they call it neuterin? Because it would have been perfect then.
Well, obviously, neuter is neuter, but I think the drug starts with a Z.
Oh, okay. Because neuterin would have been a perfect name for the drug.
Neuterin? Zooterin is what they're going for. That's what they're going for. So it's just a fantastic thing that has been created.
And only $20, is that what it's really going to cost? Because usually with this kind of things, when they have the the patent on it, they charge hundreds.
Well, they're doing it's going to be distributed limited just to licensed veterinarians. They have to take a two-hour certification course. Five dogs can be sterilized for the price of one. So, yeah, five dogs can be also sterilized in the time it takes to surgically sterilize one dog. So they crank these things out a lot faster. During this Zooterathon that they had in L.A. in the past weekend, they were asking for donations that suggested was $20. It probably doesn't even cost that much. Granted, you have to pay the technician and the veterinarian, but when they do it, these Zooterathons, $20. Which is
unbelievable. Your dog won't walk funny and won't have to wear an Elizabethan collar either.
Exactly. And, you know, there are men in the world who do not castrate their dogs because they think it takes away the manliness of them. Well, they still get to keep their manly parts, but they will be tattooed to let them know that the parts don't work, just in case they're ever stray again or turned in. So they will keep their man parts, and men will be a lot happier about it.
Well, the shot goes down there. Does the tattoo have to go down there too? Or does that go
I think – probably not, Glenn. The tattoo – usually when dogs and cats get spayed, they do a little tattoo on their belly.
Okay, good. So, feel better.
You know, or they clip the ear or something like that to let them know. But yeah, it's a fantastic thing. This method of sterilization, according to the article, is expected to greatly lower stray dog populations in the U.S. and other countries. If you start to read, you know, 600 million stray dogs worldwide and cats. So the fact that 600 million, you know, one in 5 years makes, you know, hundreds. I don't know the exact statistics, but this is gonna stop so much of the stray animals. And the animal shelters euthanize 2.7 million dogs and cats every year. So I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Cheers.
There you go. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, I still think irresponsible people are irresponsible people, and no matter what it costs or, you know, if they don't want to bother,
you know where that
bother.
You know what
I don't know.
Can help that? That's where the spay, neuter, and geld people without the comma comes in.
Yes. Yes.
Do they have a
spay,
shot for
neuter,
that?
And geld because... people.
Is that next, the human version?
Well, it certainly was exactly where my head went when I was reading this article. I'm like, how can we get that for humans? But, you know, I think that brings up a little bit more of an issue, you know, whatever.
It's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
And then do we have to be tattooed also? Or does...
Look, I'm gelded here. See, we don't have to worry about protection because, look, I've got this tattoo that says they don't work. What? See, that's genius.
All right. Wednesday, we have our EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge with Templeton Thompson, singer-songwriter, good friend of us here at the Horses in the Morning Show. She's going to join us. She's going to have a signed CD for the winner, plus the book Riding Barranca, Finding Freedom and Forgiveness in Midlife Trail by Laura Chester. We'll be giving that away. If you'd like to sign up, you can just go to horsesinthemorning.com and the big banner in the middle of the page. It only takes about 2 seconds to sign up, and we'll select we usually select on Monday late afternoon who's going to be Wednesday's player. We just close my eyes and point basically to the screen. And that's how I pick who's going to be Wednesday's player, and we'll ask you if you're free. And then if you're free, you can play the trivia challenge, and that'll happen this Wednesday. Also, we started doing this a little while ago. I want to welcome people from the following countries who downloaded our app last week. These are fairly new countries to us, and that's the Czech Republic, Honduras, El Salvador, Hong Kong, and South Korea. All of those countries downloaded our Horse Radio Network app. You can get it in the iOS or the Android App Store by searching for Horse Radio Network. Cool, huh?
Welcome. Like I said, last time we did this, hola, konnichiwa, anhayaseyo. That's Korean, actually, sort of. I don't know how to say hello in Czech. I think Honduras is Spanish. El Salvador is Spanish. Hong Kong is, I don't know how to say it.
You don't know the Chinese?
Anhayaseyo. That is Korean. How about that? Boom! I finally knew one.
Thank you, Jamie, because I certainly wasn't going to be doing that particular thing. No way that was going to happen.
Well, after my husband was stationed in Korea for a couple of years, anytime they see any other guy that was stationed in Korea, that's how they greet each other.
Oh, so that's how you learned it?
Yeah, that's how I learned it, because fighter pilots always say it to each other.
Well, let's do some news here before Reese shows up. We have a couple of minutes, and I wanted to say that I had a funny story that was on Horse and Country TV. It was a bizarre story involving a 65-year-old woman, a Facebook campaign, and an old Victorian law. This is in England. Apparently, Elizabeth Millard was behaving aggressively while riding a horse on the main common in a company or a town by the name of Woking, Surrey. Apparently, she and her 10-year-old daughter were riding their horses when Millard rode past at speed, shouting at her horse, which almost unseated her daughter. Another witness said she had been aware of the defendant for 30 years, and on September 8th, they had an altercation as she pushed past her on a narrow path and did not stop or slow down. Well, they apparently arrested her on the charge of riding furiously, which dates back to an old law of 1847, and they found her guilty of riding furiously. And she was fined about £100 for this altercation she had. And it sounds like she's got aggressive issues and probably shouldn't be riding in the first place. But, so there you go. You've got to be careful how you ride, because in England you could be arrested for riding furiously.
Only in England would you get arrested for riding furiously. But you know what? Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. When you're out trail riding, especially when you have kids and somebody gallops up next to you and past you, that's really rude. She should be charged. In America, be riding rude.
And that you've got to be careful, too. Don't think you drivers are getting off easy either, because you can be arrested for driving furiously, too.
Oh, really? So, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. You guys are in trouble. Hey, great news. Good and bad news, I guess. Rachel Alexandra's sister, of course, you know, Horse of the Year, Rachel Alexandra, her sister ran in her first race yesterday, and I find it hilarious what her Rachel Alexandra's sister's name is. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Rachel Alexandra's sister's name is Samantha Nicole. Who named these horses? Samantha Nicole, a full sister to Horse of the Year Rachel Alexandra. Her other sister, of course, is Jennifer Jamie. I mean, what are they doing here?
They're getting every female member of the owner's families are getting into the names of the horses. Everyone.
That's Stone Street Stables. If they have a granddaughter named Samantha Nicole, I'm sure. But she had her career debut yesterday at Fairgrounds, and apparently it didn't start very well. When she broke, she kind of hit the side, you know, because she's never raced before. It's her maiden race, and she hit the side and kind of was bumped at the start, and the race was a mile and 70 yards, and guess who the jockey was? You're going to love it. Rosie Napravnik was on board.
Oh, yay. Go, Rosie.
Yes. So Rosie is taking Samantha Nicole to the finish line, and actually she ended up finishing second. It's like Zenyatta's sister just finished second. But she didn't have a great start. She brushed with a horse named Handmade. Handmade, actually, I think, ended up winning. But the fractions were very fast, and it was a very fast, long race, and she came in second place. So good job. Congratulations. The other good news is that Rachel Alexandra will not be bred this year. They've decided that because obviously she had the problems in 2012 with going to Rood and Riddle afterwards, and then 2013 she spent 5 weeks at Rood and Riddle because they had to resect some small colon, and she had the big foaling injury. She almost died, had an abscess. It was a disaster. So they've decided not to breed her this year, and her breeding plans are unknown for the future. But one cannot make an important decision about what to do with one's own animal, if you're famous, without hearing from what organization, Glenn? PETA. PETA had something to say about the breeding of Rachel Alexandra. Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
In March of last year, PETA wrote to Rachel Alexandra's owner, Barbara Bank, asking her to consider retiring her from life as a broodmare, saying that she was hospitalized, because I'm sure Barbara Bank needs to be refreshed on this. She was hospitalized for pain following the birth of Jess's Dream, her first foal, and had to have large parts of her intestines removed just last month. Such complications can be life-threatening, and many other prize-winning horses, including Lady Secret, Meadow Star, Typhon Tracy, and Urban Sea, have died after giving birth. Surely, after earning more than $3 million for Stone Street Farms, Rachel Alexandra deserves to live a long, peaceful life free of the risk of more frightening injuries, says PETA Senior Vice President Kathy Guillermo. Well, listen, Kathy, while I do agree with you in many aspects of that, obviously this mare might not be ready, I don't think it's your business to write a letter to Rachel Alexandra's owner. Just my humble opinion.
I'm not going to make a comment. I'm just going to go on.
I know, but I think stuff like that makes PETA look bad. I love the fact that PETA protects animals. I love it, but sometimes they just go a little too far or a lot too far, and this seems to be one of those moments. But nobody's going to get mad at me for talking about PETA because it's like talking about your own. You're allowed to make fun of your own family, but can't make fun of other people's.
Let's go to Wellington. Let's go to the warm climate of Wellington, Florida, where the sun is shining, and somebody is down there for the Global Dressage Forum with her co-host of the Dressage Radio Show, Reese Koffler-Stanfield, and Philip Parks are down there enjoying the warm weather and got the heck out of the north. Good morning, Reese.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, you sound terrible. What have you been doing down there?
I told you. I said, when Glenn called this morning, he's like, will you come on the show? And I said, I'd love to, but there's some weird virus going around that, like, settles in your voice box here, and I have gotten it. Philip has not, but I sound terrible. So, but Philip is still asleep, so you had to get me this morning.
I think it's kind of sexy, Reese. I kind of like that.
I feel like it. I feel like it's just my radio voice for sure. Yeah, it sounds
It's warm weather Wellington virus. You go down and get warm, and all of a sudden everybody gets sick?
Yeah. I know. I've been totally fine up north, and then I come here, and I sound like awful. So, oh, well. But it's been a great weekend. Oh, my goodness. I'm here till tonight, and I have to go home. I booked the latest flight possible out of Wellington so that I could spend the entire day here hanging out and seeing people, and it's just such a cool place to come. I would tell anybody to just, if you can, come to Wellington for one of the events because you feel better. You feel like, you know, I feel revitalized. And like I want to train horses, not that I want to sit by my fire anymore.
So tell us about the Global Dressage Forum. What was that like?
Yeah, so it was great. What was so nice about the Global Dressage Forum North America is that you get to see a bunch of different training styles very quickly. So, you know, it's almost kind of like, I feel like it's like a cruise where you're like, okay, I'm cruising the Caribbean to find out where I want to actually go vacation. It's kind of the same idea. So the forum started with Jan Brink, and actually he was one of my favorite presenters because he was very concise. He's, you know, world champion. Plus, ladies, he's not bad to look at, I will say. and not going to lie. And so I enjoyed his presentation. He really, one of his main focuses was talking about the zones that we train horses in. And this would apply for really not just dressage horses. It would apply for jumpers or any discipline. And that is that you have a comfort zone, you have a pressure zone, and you have a panic zone. So there are times that you need to be in the comfort zone. There's times it needs to be in the pressure zone, and you really should never be in the panic zone. So I thought that that was really, I really enjoyed that, and I'm definitely going to use that when I go home. I thought that was just a great way of kind of, you know, visualizing how to train horses. So that was good. And then there was a centered riding lecture from Sue Leffler. And that's a really interesting technique if you've never sort of looked at the centered riding. It's a whole school of thought, and it's a really interesting way to think about sitting on horses. And again, it you know, everything that we do in dressage in theory can apply to other disciplines. So that was pretty cool. And then the Bartos did a presentation on the Lion King. And they do a really fun job. They're very, that whole organization, they put on shows, and it's a lot of fun. Sorry. And then we saw
they
Chris
did.
Rockport.
Did you say the Lion King?
Yeah, the Lion King. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So they did a whole presentation on it. It was fun. Like a, you know, like a little demo. So that was pretty fun.
Were they dressed
then,
up as lions
yeah.
and
oh, yeah.
stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the horses were all done up, and yeah. I think my horses would die to fall on the floor if I tried to put the Lion King outfit on them. But yeah. But it was fun. It was fun. It's fun to see them. It's fun to see, you know, people that are good at that because I try not to be the, you know, I try not to be that kind of talent show at a horse show. You know what I mean?
Jamie tries that too, but it never works. She's always
you know,
that kind of talent show.
I can follow Jamie on Facebook. It's pretty funny. No, we're teasing Jamie.
Whatever.
You know, Jamie's horse, Jet, you know, when you were talking about the zones, he's always in the panic zone. He just skipped the other two and went right to panic.
Well, some that are there, too.
It's not the panic zone. It's the anger zone. Did they have something for that, Reese? Did they talk about that?
They didn't have the angry zone, actually. But we could maybe make a point. We could call Jan Brink and talk to him, and, you know, plus, like I said.
Tell him he missed one? Jan, you don't know what you're talking about. There's also this other zone.
We need the angry zone. we could ask him. That would be good.
That'd be great.
I
have enjoyed seeing the pictures of you out in the bright sunshine and T-shirts when I'm sure that, you know, and every photo you post, you thank everybody back in Kentucky for taking care of your farm, and I'm sure that they really appreciate that as they stare at you in T-shirts as they're breaking ice buckets.
I think they want to, they want to stab me right now. Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
I was teasing my assistant. I was like, I think I need to stay a few more days. And she wrote back, she's like, you better get home. So, yeah.
You know, even worse is Philip comes down from Canada. So, if people take care of his farm, are really upset because they just had another foot of snow up there.
it's not fun. It's not cool. I don't want to leave. I'm serious. I wonder what happens if I miss my flight. But unfortunately, everybody's on in my game. so they'll know. That is a hard thing. You know, literally, I'm staring out the window right now, and it is, like, perfect sunshine. It's, like, almost 70 degrees. You know, you have to wear a little sweater in the morning. I know.
And where you are, is about 10 miles from one of the most beautiful beaches and shorelines that Florida has.
Yeah.
In Palm Beach. I mean, it's just beautiful with the bazillion-dollar houses and the whole thing. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Well, we may take the afternoon off. We actually may, with our host, Heidi Basler, we stayed at her house. She's an FEI trainer as well, and they live down here full-time, and so she's been awesome and hosted us this weekend. And there's some kind of art show in Jupiter, so we may, before I get on the plane, kind of go up to walk around, do something not horsey, which, you know, I love doing horsey, but excuse me, I can do other things too. So we may go up and actually see. I like to see the water when I'm here. I love the water. So we're going to do that. So it's been, you know, again, it's just a place to come. You know, you've got all your tax stores and all your vendors and everybody to be here. We have not gotten over to WEF. We didn't go over to WEF, and it's Monday, so everything's closed over there. So it's their day off. So we won't do that.
Yeah, we're going to get a report from WEF, actually, from Emily Thompson later in the show. So she's going to be checking in on the jumper side of things. But we thought we would hear your bright, shiny, sunny voice from Florida.
Exactly.
So all those people that live in New England who just got another foot of snow over the weekend can just cry.
Well, I'm trust me, going back home, like, I'm truly trying to figure out a scheme a way to stay for another week, but I don't think it's going to happen. But we have some great just material for the Dressage Radio Show, and we'll start going over it. But on Thursday when we record, but I've got a great story real quick before I leave.
Okay.
And that is, so we're sitting at, we go, there are all kinds of events with this event. And so on Friday night, we went down to a hotel, and they had drinks by the pool. And this young lady comes up to me, not super young, probably a little in her late 20s, and she said, I have to talk to you. And I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? And her name is Rachel, and she is our biggest fan. She listens to the show all the time, and she is, strangely enough, she wrote us a trainer question and asked if she should become a trainer. And, of course, Philip and I were trying to be very honest with what our honest opinion about being a trainer is. And it turns out she said, because we said no, she's like, I'm going to do it. So she turns out she started a training business in Texas, and we ended up spending the whole weekend with her. So her name's Rachel, and she's awesome and super fun, started her own business. Not from our advice, just despite Philip and I. So now we are going to be her biggest fans and watching how she does her business. So we're going to have her on the show on Thursday.
I'm glad to see you're influencing people, you and Reed.
Yes.
Or you and Philip.
We're influencing them. And so they say, stick it to us, and they do it anyways. So there you go.
Yeah, nobody listens to us either. So it makes you feel better. Anything that Jamie and I says, nobody listens to either. So
we're good.
We're consistent here at the Horse Radio Network. We're consistent.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
We're see you, Reed. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, you're stressed.
I know. I have a voice thing. All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good day.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
It's Reed, like 10:30 there. 9:30. She can have a drink of whiskey now, right? I mean, it's 9:30 there.
In Wellington, you can drink starting at 7 in the morning.
Yep,
so.
Exactly.
So that's fine. No problem. Well, let's hear from Omega Alpha Equine, and then when we come back from that, we have the Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation with Leslie Wiley.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And is Leslie ready? Are we ready for her? Because it is that time of day, and we're actually talking to her a little bit early, which kind of throws me off. It's 7:30 my time. Is that early? Is that late enough to deal with Leslie Wiley? I don't know. Let's say hello. Hey, Leslie.
Depends whether she's had her coffee or not.
I know, right? I, they're throwing me off. Usually it's like the end of the show, and I'm a little hyper at that time, and I'm ready for you. I might not be quick enough for you this morning, Leslie.
That's okay. I've had just enough coffee. Sometimes by the end of the show, I've had too much coffee, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
That's what makes us good, is we have too much coffee by then. So, okay, we're going to have to suck it up. I'm going to have to suck it up and try to keep up with you. How is everything over there on Horse Nation?
Oh, wacky as usual.
Just wacky. So, but
living in a little wacky world.
And how's your horse doing? Have you hit the horse trials yet? You've been out eventing yet this year, or is it still too cold?
Well, we're actually, speaking of warm, or hopefully warm places, we're heading to Aiken
on Friday of this week.
And
no, you're going to the wrong place.
No, right? And we're going to stay there for a weekend, do Sporting Days horse trials, not this weekend, but the weekend after that. So that'll be our first horse show of the year. But, yeah, hopefully Aiken's got its bad weather and bad the earthquakes and ice storms and all that business out of the way, and it'll be all sunshine and and temperatures in the 60s by the time we get there, hopefully.
You planned that incredibly well, because I was looking on Eventing Nation this morning. Currently 10,000 people are still without power. Boyd Martin has been cooking eggs and making coffee on his grill because he hasn't had power in a week. This is crazy what's going on down there, and I feel so – I'm using air quotes in the air. Okay, ready? I feel so bad for those people that go south to Aiken, and then they get this. You know, I don't really feel bad
for
them.
Can I make an official prediction for next year? There will be 10,000 eventers that will be coming to Ocala instead of Aiken. That's my official prediction for next year.
Exactly.
Totally. You're absolutely guaranteed something a little bit nicer. But, yeah, so good planning. Well done, you, unless you were supposed to be there last week and you changed your trip. But that's exciting. What is your first event out? Are you going to rock the intermediate, or are you going to start a little less? What are you doing?
Well, I'm currently entered at intermediate prelim, which is the intermediate dressage test and show jumping and prelim cross country. However, there's always a chance that I might drop down to just prelim in the next week or so.
Yeah.
I haven't actually jumped any cross country since November, so we'll see how our cross country school goes when we get down there. But that's the tentative plan, yeah.
Well, exciting. Congratulations. That's awesome. I'm very jealous that you get to go do that. That's cool. Well, now we're going to obviously talk about what's going on Horse Nation. Now, let's talk a little bit about your article titled, "And You Thought a Dozen Roses Were Expensive?" I love this one.
Right, yeah. We've got a writer, Heather Benson, who's been, one thing that I just feel like I don't know enough about is racing. And she's super connected to the racing world and all the off-track thoroughbred stuff. She's works with the Retired Racehorse Training Project. And so she's always digging up these interesting bits of information from the racing world, and one of them was the startling the startling post about thoroughbred stud fees, which are super expensive. She broke it down into everything ranging from, she said, a cheap box of chocolate stallions to nice dinner at the steakhouse stallions, two diamond ring and a tiara stallions, according to their stud fees. And so I was surprised. So sort of at the low end, sort of a bargain basement, good stallion, quality stallion, you're looking at about $25,000. So some of the stallions that the names that are familiar in that category, Curlin, Macho Uno, Bodemeister, Union Rags, horses that are maybe not totally, that were successful on the track, but they're not 100% confirmed yet as stallions. So
yeah.
They're sort of building up their resume.
Yeah, Curlin's got his first runners this year. You got Macho Uno, of course, is the sire of Mucho Macho Man, who won the Breeders' Cup, who's a friend of the show. So we love him. You got Bodemeister, who just retired this past year. He doesn't even have runners yet. And Union Rags, who, if I was a rich person and I had a wonderful eventing mare, I would breed that mare to Union Rags because he is amazing looking. And you get him at the bargain price of $35,000 now. So they're only going to go up as their progeny starts to prove them. So I know, right? I mean, look at the confirmation on Union Rags and tell me that you wouldn't die to have that.
Yeah, that's a good looking horse.
Yep. And then you move to the nice dinner at the steakhouse stallions. Like you said, and like she said in the article, if that expensive steak costs around $50,000, which is,
kind of good.
Yeah, Ghost Zapper, a lot of the Edina Springs, Windstar Farms, that's where you start to see the big names. And then we talked about the Diamond and a Tiara stallions that you mentioned, and go over those horses because that's ridiculous.
Yes, she says these are the golden boys of the racing world. Their babies have proven themselves in the auction ring and on the track time and time again. You just know if you drop dollars on the big price tag, you will be getting your honey just what she wanted, no questions asked. We've got Malibu Moon. I guess he's the sire of 2013 Kentucky Derby winner Orb. That's his son. And then we've got Tappet, who at a whopping $150,000 stud fee. I think he's
Tappet. Yeah, Tappet is the sire of the gray horse, Glenn, and it's the sire of Hansen, which, of course, is the guy that, painted his tail blue and the steely white, gorgeous racehorse. Also, the horse that you really liked, Glenn, Normandy Invasion. So he's got a lot of grade one winners. And I still don't think I would spend that. But you know what? They make their money back at the sale if the horse comes out looking decent, I guess. People buy things for millions of dollars, but still, man.
He's a proven baby daddy.
Just like my husband, proven baby daddy, a beautiful baby. He's sitting next to me, and he just was like, "What?" then you've got the terrible horse-human relationship advice. This is strategies for a healthy relationship with your horse. And anytime you click on it and Dwight Schrute is the first face to come up, you're getting for something good.
Getting something good. Yeah, we had a Valentine's Day blowout extravaganza last week at Horse Nation. And, you can count on Horse Nation sometimes for some good advice, but you can also count on us on occasion for some really terrible advice. We pride ourselves on that, offering something that no one else does, just bad advice. Carly Sparks, who's just hilarious, and she offered some strategies for healthy communication with your horse. And says these work for romantic relationships with humans, too. A few of my favorites, use loud verbal cues. screaming at your horse is a surefire way to get him to listen to your aids.
Yeah.
It also
yeah.
lets other people know that you are confident in your particular training strategy and that they might benefit from this learning opportunity. Yeah, screaming
yeah, how
at
much
people, always works.
How many people have we seen use that, though? I mean,
I have a personal favorite. Yeah, Glenn, and I've seen people use this one a lot. And don't get mad. Get drawings.
Like, that's a good life strategy in general.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I've seen
one of my favorites. And then this next one, and I'll pick on Reese a little bit. We've seen it more with dressage riders than anybody, is practice makes perfect, where you just do it over and over and over.
It says you'll never get good at fighting with your horse unless you do it every single day.
Yeah.
And I get it.
I like, never get off your horse angry. Every satisfactory ride should have a proper ending. If you can't achieve your objective, you can at least be sure you're both sorry you ever got on. That's some good advice. Not.
Now, I must ask, because, you know, you've got, like, use humor, give them a timeout, bring reinforcements, basically, you know, all the advice is absolutely terrible. It's awesome. Do you ever get complaints that people read this, like, it's like The Onion, and they get complaints like, I can't believe you would say something like that. Do you ever get emails or no?
I think it's remarkable to me that our readers seem to have, like, an extraordinary sense of humor. I think they're 99% of the time, like, on the same page as us. And the ones that aren't,
sick,
you know, they
humor,
get weeded out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We have the best readers in the world.
Good. I'm glad. I was wondering. Sometimes I read stuff and I'm like, I hope nobody took that seriously. Because, you know, horse people, women in general can be a little hypersensitive, right, Glenn?
Yeah,
we get those emails occasionally about things we say. And I always write back and go, it's Jamie and I. Why would you even consider that to be serious? I mean,
right.
You listen to the show?
I think that's our place in the world. You know, Horse Nation and Horses in the Morning. It's so easy to get so serious about horses and really, you know, just take everything too hard and too get offended and get too serious about everything. And you know, I think it's good that we're sort of celebrating the lighter side of this crazy thing that we're doing.
Now,
absolutely.
That was not the post, though, that you had that had the most. Tell us about the post with the most hits last week.
Oh,
my God.
Man.
Hilarious.
You know,
so
I just...
adorable.
I've said it time and time again. You just never know what's going to take off on the Internet. And last week's winner of the Internet was... a little dwarf mini named Mr. Buddy. And there was a video last week circulating around Facebook of this little adorable little pony who just wipes out in the snow but he just kind of shakes it off and just keeps going and really an inspiring little horse. He has his own Facebook page with something like 5,000, you know, fans and all these adorable pictures and apparently the cutest personality ever. So that's definitely worth watching if you need to be just dazzled by some total...
It's
unabashed adorableness.
I'm not like a mini, you know, I don't see them. I'm like, oh, no, like some people are. This one, I am. When he goes galloping, there's just so much snow, and he just is trying to figure out how to get to the food. And you know that's all it is. And it is the cutest thing. I'm not going to spoil it for everybody, but definitely go watch it. It's on horsenation.com. It's adorable. Adorable.
It's adorable. It's adorable. Good job,
well,
job
Leslie,
everybody.
Yeah, good job. I would like to let you know I am enjoying the kind of changes that you guys made where you put at the bottom of the post things that
you would like to read that are kind of similar to the one above. So I appreciate that. It actually makes it easier to kind of click through. Was that a new thing?
Yeah, you know what? It just makes me sad. We have so much good stuff on the site, and so much of it, you know, it's just ephemeral. It just kind of, you know, it's here today, and by next week, everyone's forgotten about it. And so it's nice to sort of bring back, you know, so keep some of that, those old posts alive.
Yeah.
Because we always have new viewers, new readers. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and sharing some of it. Everybody, go ahead and send in your pictures, because you guys are doing a, I don't know if it's a contest or just letting people send them in, but smile for the camera. Take a picture of you smiling with your horse or kissing your horse. You always have stuff going on over there.
Always.
That's horsenation.com. Leslie, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you before you go to the frozen south, right?
That's, well, I guess the next time I talk to you guys, I will be reporting live from the hopefully thawed out by then south. So, yeah.
You'll be standing next to Boyd Martin's grill, warming your hands.
Thanks, Leslie.
We can only hope. Take care.
Yeah, right? Bye.
Leslie's appearance here is brought to
Boyd Martin's grill. Warm my hands.
I didn't realize there were that many without power down there.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, High Visibility North America is the distributors for UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. And they're having a winter promotion. You can get their winter jackets, the Aspie jackets, or the quilted jacket at a special price. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe, whether in the woods during hunting season or riding on the road or out in the trail, but also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage riders to Western riders love this line. And apparently the group from Distance Riding Association of Wisconsin does as well, because they had my Daily Winnie for buying a whole bunch of them for prizes this year at their awards dinner. The range does have everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests. Jennifer and I use the lightweight vests here every time we go out off the farm. If we're going off the farm, even when I'm riding my bike, I wear their lightweight vests because you know what?
Really?
It's just, oh, yeah. You know what I found when I wear them is even on my bike, people slow down more when I wear the vest than when I don't. So I think what it is that bright neon color, you'll automatically assume it's either a policeman, or, you know, your mind goes policeman or construction worker, and in both cases, you know, you have to slow down. So I think when they see those vests, you know, whether we're riding horses or driving my pony or whatever it is, or riding my bike, they tend to slow down.
It says, too, it says, hey, I'm self-aware, and I'm out here, and I would appreciate a little bit of control in my environment, you know, and that's really cool.
Yeah, it's just something we've noticed that Jennifer's definitely noticed it with the horses. People tend not to slow down, even if she's off the side of the road, because we have wide berms here, but they'll slow down even if she's off the side of the road when she's wearing the vest. I think it's just human nature. It's what we're ingrained to do when we're driving. So why not, right? You know, it costs $25-$30 to get one of the vests. Just go get one and wear it. HighVisibilitySportswear.com is where you can find all their products, including the sale products going on right now. So get yours today. Well, I have a song for you from horse girl Casey Smith today called I'm Gonna Fly. And then we're coming back with more fun here on Horses in the Morning.
I've always been the shy, quiet type, biding my time until the time was right. Driving through life with one foot on the brake, missed every chance that I did not take. Now I'm gonna do whatever I please. No, nothing's gonna have a hold on me. I'm taking off, babe, don't be afraid. I'll stand straight, it's all made up my mind. I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna do whatever I please. Yeah, no, nothing. Gonna have a hold on.
Well, that was Casey Smith, and you can find all of her music at caseysmith.com, and that's spelled with a K, K-A-C-E-Y, smith.com, for all of her music. I am Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here on Horses in the Morning with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen, and we're brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at omegaalphaequine.com. Sorry about that slip there, Jamie. You are also Horses in the Morning, and so is Jennifer.
Wow, thanks.
Didn't mean not to include you in that.
No problem.
We have a few minutes before our next guest here. I got to tell you, I know you have some stories you wanted to cover. There was something absolutely fascinating on horsetalk.co.nz. It's a website that we do a lot of news stories from out of New Zealand, and she put some time and effort into the stories that she does. They had an absolutely fascinating one on, and had you ever heard of the 1872 outbreak, viral outbreak in North America that affected 99% of the horses in the whole country of the United States? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well, the Civil War ended in, to give people perspective, the Civil War ended in 1865, so 7 years after that. A virus started in Canada, Toronto, Canada, and it was first noticed on a horse that was in a field in Toronto, got sick, and within 90 days, get this, within 90 days, it had spread across the continent, down the Atlantic seaboard, all the way to Havana, Cuba. So this was so contagious that what happened, they think, is a couple of horses came from Canada. All of Canada was affected within 10, 15 days. A couple of horses were shipped down from Canada to Chicago. Now, you got to remember also, this is before cars. Everything was done by what they call heavy horses, draft horses. Everything was done by horses. Your carriages were pulled. You didn't get anywhere in this country. It was either train or horse. So keep that in mind, that you needed horses to survive back then. Well, apparently these two horses were shipped down to Chicago, as best they can tell, infected all the horses in Chicago within a week or two, and they say within the continent that 80 to 99% of all the horses in the whole country and Canada were affected by this. They think that between 2 and 10% of them died from the disease. They couldn't work. Basically, the whole country was at a standstill. It said the outbreak forced men to pull wagons by hand while trains and ships full of cargo sat unloaded, tram cars stood idle, and deliveries of basic community essentials were no longer being made. The New York Times gives an insight as to the extent of the outbreak. There is hardly a public stable in the city which has not been affected, while a majority of the valuable horses owned by individuals are for the time being useless to their owners. It is not uncommon along the streets of the city to see horses dragging along with drooping heads and intervals of coughing violently. Apparently that's the kind of disease this was. It was also a contributor because of this, and a lot of people have heard about the Great Fire in Boston that burned down 776 buildings. It was on November the 9th, and it destroyed what they call hectares, or, you know, 26 acres, basically, of the city was destroyed. And part of the reason was all of the fire horses were sick, so they could not get the steam-powered pumpers to the fire. What they resorted in doing is men were trying to pull the pumpers, and they're very, very heavy. They needed draft horses to pull them. They were trying to pull them through the streets and get them there, and it just didn't happen in time. So, you know, like a quarter of the city burned down because the horses were so sick they couldn't pull the pumpers. So, you know, I didn't know anything about this, but if you think about it, what in a country that thrived on horses, when you got 90% of your horses down and out and can't do anything,
imagine
the nightmare.
You can't go to a neighbor's house. You can't go to the city. I mean, this is the same time as Black Beauty, you know, and I know you're going to laugh, but that's how people got around. He was a cab horse. Horses stood all in a line next to each other, and they didn't vaccinate. They didn't do any sort of, like, they didn't do Coggins tests on those horses. No, there was nothing. So, to think about how stuff could be passed, I mean, like you said, like a wildfire, animal to animal, just with even, like, they had public water troughs back then. Like, gosh, that makes me cringe.
Well, we were still in Indian Wars back then, you know, whether you like to hear about that or not. That was happening back then, and apparently the cavalry couldn't use their horses, and neither could the Apaches. It even affected the horses of the Apaches. So, you know, there was no horse that was exempt from this. It was just
this is crazy. I can't believe none of us have ever really heard of this.
I know. They said the fatality in Chicago alone, 25 to 30 horses were dying a day in the streets for just keeling over dead. It just goes to show you, it also goes to show you how far we have come in our vaccinations and avoiding things like this.
Right. And, you know, like, these people, like, they couldn't power trains because they couldn't get the coal. And here I'm irritated that my iPhone has 10% battery. God.
Yep. So anyway, that was just a fascinating story. If you want to read the rest of it, go to horsetalk.co.nz. You'll find the rest of that
check
story.
It out. We need to get a historian on the show just to tell the story again, because I could hear that again and again, just how crazy everything is back then and now. Now, speaking of what's going on right now, Glenn, have you seen the online drama regarding Bodie Miller?
No, I saw a headline about Bodie Miller this morning, but I didn't see what the story was.
And I guess NBC either cut it out last night, or I just didn't see it. Maybe I fast forwarded through the
post-race
interview.
Now, for those that aren't
interview.
Following Olympics, who is Bodie Miller?
Bodie Miller is like American's bad boy skier, now turned kind of good boy. He's definitely the favorite of everybody. He's a downhill skier. He does all sorts of insane things on skis. And he's been in the Olympics 5 times. So if you've watched any Winter Olympics, you know the name Bodie Miller. And he's married to this uber hot, like, volleyball player, and, you know, just they're ridiculously beautiful people. And so he goes to do the post-race interview. He
Morgan Beck, by the way. I know her name, Morgan Beck. Thought I'd throw that
in
there.
I'm sure you do. And what they don't tell you is he had a pregnant girlfriend that he left to go out with this girl. So that's backstory you didn't know. Anyway, so apparently after he tied for the bronze medal last night, the interviewer, a woman for NBC named Christian Cooper, says to him, for a guy who said medals don't really matter, they aren't the thing, you know, you've amassed quite a collection. What does this one mean to you in terms of all the others? And Bodie Miller's response is, this was a little different. With my brother passing away, I really wanted to come back here and race the way he sends it. This was different. So I guess his brother passed away last April, had a head injury and ended up with a dying of seizures. He was in a bike crash. So he lost his brother. So this is his first Olympics back. And, you know, I watch the Olympics and cry when other people win medals just because it's so awesome. And then this, so here's Bodie Miller, this hard, tough guy. Christian Cooper continues the line of questioning. Bodie, you're showing so much emotion here. What's going through your mind? And then he starts to kind of get a little choked up, and a lot, obviously, just a long struggle coming in here, just a really tough year. She continues. I know you wanted to be here with Shelley, that's his brother, experiencing these games. How much does it mean to you to come up with a great performance for him? And was it for him?
Don't you want now to he's slap really these people?
I know. Oh, it gets worse. He's like, I mean, I don't know if it's really for him, but I wanted to come here and I don't know, I guess make myself proud. And he's like teetering on the edge. The final nail in the coffin here, I shouldn't have used that, the knife, you know, to twist here, is when you're looking up in the sky at the start, we see you there, and it looks like you're talking to somebody. What's going on there? And then he loses it and actually almost ends up in the fetal position on the ice crying so hard. And they're filming it. I haven't seen it. Again, I'm just reading whatever it is called. So I'm reading it. And I guess everybody and their brother are ripping this chick for being way too over the top. And so Bodie's taking to Twitter to, you know, calm everybody down, saying that his emotions were raw and she asked the questions every interviewer would have and she wasn't trying to cause pain, but I guess they're just crushing her for asking those questions. Somebody even on Twitter goes, Bodie, last question. You're now in the fetal position on the freezing snow after my first four questions. Is it safe to say that Chili's with you at this moment? Like, I mean, they just keep... Here, Cooper, questions Miller about dead brother. Cooper, reveals the ending of Charlotte's Web. Cooper, acts out hospital scene in terms of endearment. Cooper, plays Tears of Heaven on iPod. Cooper... sobs. Miller sobs uncontrollably. Like, that's the Twitter sphere right now, Twitterverse, that's going on right now, and people are just crushing her. Now, knowing that she probably was getting fed these questions from a producer, but it was ridiculous. Like, they're just trying, that was just trying too hard, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, most of the time when you see them interview athletes of any kind after a game, they ask the dumbest, most predictable questions. And you know, it's like, can't you come up with anything more clever than that? You've had all game to think about what you're going to ask. And
yeah.
How do you feel right now? Is it always the first question? How do you feel right now? Well, if they won, they feel happy. Yeah, exactly. If they won, they feel happy. If they lost, it pretty much sucks. I can tell you the answer.
You know, I wish I could be better at that and defend that, but seriously, if I was to talk to the winner of Rolex, my first question would be like, how do you feel right now? I feel awesome. I just won Rolex. You know, whatever.
And you know what the answer is going to be. Maybe that's why they ask it, because they know what the answer is going to be. It's safe.
You want that emotion. You want that excitement. You just wanted to go right there. So, well, I think apparently NBC people at NBC are getting their butts kicked right now.
Well, I got to tell you, we mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show. I just found it kind of funny. I got to talk about this. Did you read the story about them? There's a new drug now that's being used on racehorses that's
being
revealed. No.
Tutoring
no,
dogs?
No, exact opposite, actually. They are starting to – John Steinball – who races in, New Mexico, at a track in New Mexico, was caught giving his horses Viagra.
Woo!
So apparently what Viagra does, by the way, it explained in the article, I love this, it explained that Viagra is used as an erectile dysfunction drug. Like,
oh.
Who doesn't know that, right? Yeah, like revealed in there. It's a big surprise. And it's illegal in horse racing because it affects the cardiac output, increases the horse's performance, and
it increases blood flow.
Exactly. It's exactly what it does. And he got four suspensions, and it equals 16 years and a $40,000 fine. So he got a real – oh, I was going to use a bad pun there that I shouldn't. He got really hammered on this one, and he got in big trouble. Now, I propose that, you know how I think a new race, we could get a new race out of this. This is my thought, going immediately to this, is you know how the greyhounds chase a bunny around the track? That's how they race. They chase a little fake bunny that goes around the track. Well, I think we put a mare, get a mare a 50-yard head start, take a whole bunch of stallions, give them Viagra, and you have a new race. We would set world records. World records.
Wait, say that again?
You give a mare a 50-yard head start in about a mile race, and you have, you know, 8 or 10 stallions in the starting gate. You give the mare a 50 to 100-yard head start. You give all the stallions Viagra, and you let them go. We're going to set world records, world racing records.
Oh, my gosh,
records.
You're right. And, I mean, Rachel Alexandra, as we just discussed, is open for business. I mean, she's not going to be
That's
bred,
right.
and she's fast. That's
right.
Genius.
You can outrun them.
She
what do you
the
think?
Job.
The Viagra, what do we call it? Viagra Downs. The Viagra,
I love it. I love it. We come
That's
up with such
name.
Great ideas on this show, Glenn. I mean,
know.
How are we not millionaires? It's shocking.
I know. Did you know? Did you see all the comments we got on the idea we had last Friday for the new Westminster show?
Yeah. No, I did. I haven't. Was it for those who didn't hear the show the other day? We came up with an idea for the Westminster dog show, and it's going to change the face of. I mean, obviously, now that you can inject a dog and sterilize it, we are going to have the. What did we decide to call it?
It was. I'm looking. Can't remember either. Oh, the Westminster Adopted Mutt Show. That's what we decided to call. Yes.
The Adopted Mutt Show from Westminster, and we had all sorts of different categories for dogs. Like my favorite one was the regular dogs with Basset Hound legs category. I think that would be like the best Westminster dog show category there is.
Katie Livingood wants to have the yellow dog category because her dog's yellow.
There's a bunch of yellow dogs. There's all sorts of yellow lab mixes. I mean, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, you could do, there were so many different ideas here. There were like 20 people who came up with ideas here. You did the big bodies with Basset Hound legs, which seemed to be popular. They said you could also, some classes, Kim said, sure, right after the same classes are offered as halter classes at the top horse show. But basically she says that you can have the I can make funny faces with my tongue class. I look like a draft on the end of a saddle horse class, and one of my parents was some god-awful thing class. So that was a good one. I like that. I like that one. That's the best one. Yeah.
I might be part weasel is another class.
Anyway, there were a lot of good comments on that. I think we should take a look at that. You know, we could do that as a virtual show. We could make it the Horses in the Morning virtual Mutt Show, and have our own classes.
Here we go. We've started back again on all of our awesome ideas that we should be patenting, not just giving away. I did like the Jennifer So Ugly It's Cute group, the Crazy Mismatched Parts group, the Sort of Looks Like group. I love it. We're going to make millions.
I know. And you know who's down there right now with a lot of these different dogs? Is our intrepid reporter Emily Thompson from The Equestrian Live at Wellington. Let me see if I can get her on here. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
I said AC, it's S. Sorry about that. S Equestrian Live.
Equestrian.
doing our live report from Wellington. You have seen some dogs down there, I bet. Some interesting mutts.
Yes. All around the horse show, we sort of joke that the dogs wonder why we brought all these horses to the dog show. It seems like there's a few dogs for every horse. But, yes, all kinds of dogs. Designer dogs are popular. Wiener dogs are the dogs of the horse show.
Oh, there's
really?
A lot of wiener dogs now? Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I personally also have a wiener dog, so I noticed. But, yeah, there's so many of them.
Now, I did not realize that that wiener dogs had taken over the jumper world. I always thought it was either Jack Russells or Corgis.
I know it. No, it's wiener dogs now. There is a changing of the guard for sure. I feel like every time I go to the horse show, somebody new has a wiener dog.
Isn't it ironic that we have jumpers with wiener dogs that can't get all 4 feet off the ground if they try?
Oh, I know. They're like so not athletic. My little guy, I got to carry him everywhere. It's ridiculous.
I find it, yeah, like, I would at least pick a dog that could get out of the way of a horse hoof, but they can't even do that.
People keep telling me they're hunting dogs and they were badger hunters and all of this business. I mean, not my guy, and not any of the ones I've seen either.
That's funny. Well, tell us what is going on. Oh, I got to ask you this. You know, one of the problems we have at Rolex every year is everybody brings dogs, and they get loose on the cross-country course. And one year, they chased Buck Davidson's horse down on the cross-country course and bit him. So do we have dogs biting jumpers all over the place in Wellington?
Oh, my God.
No, because they're wiener dogs.
I know the wiener dogs are not so fast, thank God. Maybe that's why we're changing, because I do remember a few rogue Jack Russells back in the day getting down into the ring. But, you know, it's funny because there are so many dogs, but I don't know if it's the way where the stabling is on the ground, but it's just you really don't you don't have the loose dog situation. There's lots of dogs on leashes, but it's probably because you have to walk a little bit from the stabling area. It's kind of, thank God, that's not a factor.
Do the wiener dogs bark less than the toy breeds?
You know, I think it's case by case. My little guy doesn't bark at all, and I guess they're hound dogs, so some of them do, some of them don't. But I don't think they're yippy.
Yeah, well, that's good. There's nothing worse than a yippy dog that's stable breaks beside you.
Yeah, yeah, nobody wants that at all.
Yeah. Sorry, I know you didn't call in to talk about dogs, but, you know, you never know what comes up on our show.
I love dogs. Hey, change of pace.
What is going on down there? We had a report from the dressage side of things from Wellington earlier in the show. Yeah, Reese Coughler Stanfield called in about the dressage side. But what's going on since we talked to you last on the jumper side?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's been a big 2 weeks. I've been going to all the little classes here and there, getting the full experience, but really kind of the proof at the end of the week, how big a week was it? A funny little thing I do on Mondays. I've kind of always done it. Now I'm sharing it. But inevitably, I have to drive across town at one point, and I always drive past the Players Club, which is like the night spot for Wellington. Like everybody knows the Players Club. If you've come down here, everybody goes there. It's been there since the creation. But I kind of judge how big a week it is by how many cars are still left there in the morning, Monday morning. That's just sort of one of those little things. And I got to tell you, after Hunter Week this week, there were quite a few cars in the parking lot on the way over here this morning. I was like, all right, you know what, it was a big week. Not only did we have a lot of classes, but people were blowing off steam. It was a big week.
That's funny.
But, yeah, that is all week. So we had Hunter Week this week, which is week six. You know, it's a 12-week circuit. So normally we have kind of split the rings, the hunters, the jumpers, the equitation, the ponies. I mean, it's just huge. We've got 5,400 back numbers so far to date this circuit.
Wow.
So it's a madhouse over there. But so this week six, this previous week, they change the schedule and they highlight the hunters. And they've got the big Hunter Spectacular, which goes in the Grand Prix Stadium under the lights. You know, it's a really big deal. And Victoria Colvin actually won that this year for the third year in a row. And she's a junior. I think she's 17 years old. So that was really remarkable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was fun. But then, you know, the jumpers, we got to move around a little bit because of Hunter Week. So we actually went over to that global dressage facility, which you, I guess, may have heard about in your update, which is cool over there. It's big. It's nice. It was a fun venue under the lights, much smaller ring. You know, it's a dressage ring. So to put the jumpers in there, top sport running around under the lights, it was a different experience. But it was cool. It was a really fun week, lots of events.
So, Emily, whenever they use
they move their arenas around. So typically all of the equitation classes are on this ring, all of the ponies are in this ring, and when they judge them around that way, do trainers often change who and what class they compete in? Is it a significant effect on the performance, or is it more of a case of it's fun and different and just breaks up your 12-week run?
I mean, it's totally case by case, for sure. For some people, it's a deciding factor between showing or not, and then others, it just ends up being a little more exciting. But not only the ring change is huge, but then when they put those classes at night and the horses jump under the lights, those shadows, they really play under the jump, so that can really be a factor. But it's case by case. You certainly see the lift shuffle around when those rings move.
Well, that's cool. Just for fun. I mean, 12 weeks is a long time to do the same class over and over and over again.
It is. It's long. So, I thought that when we went over, this is nice. We should do this a little more, kind of rotating around, which is what I was telling you guys last time with that turf tour of Nona Carson's. They travel around to farms in the area. So it's a different venue each time, which is fun. And it's the meter 40 class is open all day. So you come in, you show when it suits you. It's that kind of feel. It'll break it up a little.
How do the jumpers decide? Because we have Wellington going on, which is a little warmer than where we are in Ocala. How do the but we also have large shows that go on in Ocala for the same period of time. How do the jumpers decide where to go?
You know, it's on the schedule. It's those they factor in the top riders. They have to manage their horses throughout the season, depending on those top classes that they're shooting for, and then let everything else fall in where it will. But being that this was Hunter Week this last year, a lot of our top riders, with Margie Goldstein, McLean Ward, Todd Minicus, one of our sponsored riders, they went up to Ocala to show up there in preparation for the $1 million class, which is going to be at the end of that circuit.
Now, and so for people who've never been in the jumper world before at a intensive run like this circuit is, if you have, you're a good jumper, and let's say, I know this doesn't happen too often, but you've got one horse, how many times will you show in a week that particular horse?
It's so different. I'm always interested in that, so I do sometimes, get on the show website and kind of look at what other people are doing with their top horses. But I think it's case by case. You see people doing just the welcome on, Wednesday or Thursday, and then just the Grand Prix that weekend, all the way up to people doing 2 and 3 warm-up classes and then a Friday class and then the Grand Prix. So they're up to maybe 4, sometimes 5 classes. You see all of it. It's case by case. Really, the horses are – they take – the management is so important for all of them.
Your horses, is there a number of times that you prefer to go out a week?
We kind of keep it to 2 to 3 competitions per week if we're in a showing week, but we don't show a week in and week out. Even when I was not doing the clothing line extensively, we just pick maybe 3 weeks tops, generally just keep it down to 2 weeks and, 2 to 3 classes. If our Grand Prix horses would do a warm-up class, the welcome, and then the Grand Prix.
And I was also reading that some of your riders for your clothing line have done pretty well.
Yeah, we're having an exciting 2014. We have two of our top S-Equestrian riders that are down here in Wellington, Todd Minicus, he's an American rider, and Kevin Babington, rides for Ireland. They've just been in top places, every class that they've gone out. Todd was just 4th in the 150 Classic last Sunday, which I just thought was remarkable that they had 92 entries jumping around at the meter 50s as our top sport. It was unbelievable. Really, it's incredible, really, the magnitude of what goes on down here. But, yeah, they've just been great. So Todd and Kevin, they're on fire. It's going to be fun to watch 2014 season.
And has the weather held out? You know, it got cold up here even in Ocala, but I think you guys pretty much held out, didn't you?
I know, it's such a touchy subject, but yes, it has been nice. We are enjoying another warm day. It's definitely a beach or pool day. sorry to say.
And have you hit the – I was just talking about with Reese how you have some of the most beautiful beaches down there in Palm Beach and all that area. Have you hit the beach?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, no, I'm a total beach bum. I go on at any chance I can get. It's about, 15 minutes, 20 minutes from the Wellington area to just drive right out to the coast.
Yeah, and it's very pretty.
It really is. Now, there's a lot of sharks off the coast. I have caught a few news shows watching there's some sort of migration or breeding or something, so I don't advise going in the water. As a New Yorker, I'm terrified of Florida ocean, but I do go to the beach.
Chicken.
totally, self-admitted. It's just not going to happen. I love the beach, not going in the water.
Well, it's thank cool. you, Emily, okay. for checking in again. Give the website again for your clothing line.
EceEquestrian. It's ECEEquestrian.com. Check us out. We got new products being updated.
Very good. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Have fun in the warm Wellington weather.
Thank you. Have fun, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Now, we're not doing this, by the way, just want to say for all of our northern listeners, we're not doing this to torture you. We're just doing it to give you hope. That there is hope that another month you yourself might see actual warm weather and maybe grass at some point.
It's like when you are meditating. You don't meditate about stressful things. You meditate about wonderful, beautiful, calming things. So this is what we're doing is we are providing you with some wonderful, beautiful, warm things in hopes it'll warm you up.
And I saw over the weekend it was like hot in Phoenix, wasn't it? It was not even warm.
Oh, my God.
It was
like 90 freaking degrees here. It's like so hot. It's crazy.
I saw that, and I was like, one of our listeners posted that lives up in Nevada said, oh, if this is any indication, our summer's going to be brutal because it's already hot.
And I love the picture that's going around Facebook. The first person who complains about a hot day is going to get punched in the mouth. You know, I'm like, I'll be first in. Line me up for a punch in the face because it's already hot now. We haven't even had, any freezing temperatures at all. It's been, the hottest winter that I can remember. Y'all
Isn't it amazing how
now.
In one country we can go from super dry in California to us having more rain than we've ever had in Florida, and you going from hot to, people setting minus 15 degree, temperatures all over the rest of the country. It is amazing how in one country we can have such a diversity. But we are thinking about all of you up north, and we're hoping it does look like the groundhog was right, though, by the way. Groundhog did get this year right, unfortunately.
Yeah, sorry.
Baby Luke thought so, too. Well, that's it. Let's wrap today up. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today here at Horses in the Morning. We do appreciate it. Thank you, too.
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do have to let you know, Glenn, about Valentine's Day. You know, it was husband going to come home and cook dinner or have groceries, or was he going to be like, I'm cooking dinner.
What do we have? That's right.
So he was completely out of the doghouse because he came home on Friday with groceries. And he made me one of my favorite meals, and it was awesome. However, said husband has just gone right back into the doghouse as he's left me with the baby to go play golf all day long on this President's Day day off, where I thought we were going to spend it together. No, he's going golfing with his buddies from work. So in, out, and then right back in. And he's already left, and I have a baby in my lap, and I am currently on fire. There's flames shooting out of my ears right now. I'm so upset.
So the mistake he made this time was he didn't tell you he was going to play golf, did he?
Oh, no. He asked me yesterday, and I said, no, I'd rather spend the day with you than you go golf with your buddies. I'm like, it's a holiday for you. Let's hang out. Okay. This morning. Okay. He comes in dressed for golf. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Is this really happening? And then he's like, I fed the baby. He's got a clean diaper. See you later. So...
So he had 2 days out of the doghouse after Valentine's Day on Friday, and now he's back in again.
Well, he's not usually in the doghouse, but I thought, let's hang out. Let's spend time together. You know what? Because I went to the driving range with him yesterday, and I thought, well, that would cover it, I'll go ride a horse
today.
No, you today.
Just got him warmed up for today.
Well, I thought I was going to stop today. Women, golf widows,
I get it.
See, now
I'll sit here and be a mom.
Being a guy, I come out with, then I start to think, start to think like the guy, and I start to think, well, you know, dear, it is my responsibility as an officer in the military to spend some time with the other officers in non-working situations. As an officer, I'm expected to play golf. Has that come out yet?
Do you know, Glenn, if you were sitting right next to me, how hard I would kick you in the shin right now? Not even funny.
One.
Play the ending music. I got to get out of here. I'm irritated.
All right, download our app. Don't forget to do that. Also, check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network. We have a bunch of them at horseradionetwork.com. Horsemanship Radio just came out over the weekend. Check out the newest edition of that. Debbie Laux had her mom, Auntie Robert's wife, on the show, and Pat Roberts. Oh. And did you know she's going back to showing again at the age of mid-70s at least? She's going
Yay.
Back to showing as a reiner and doing shows and competing and the whole thing and absolutely loving it. So you'll hear all about that on Horsemanship Radio here at the Horse Radio Network. That's it, everybody. Have a terrific day. Be safe.
Spay, neuter, give your dog a shot, whatever you need.
Or Viagra. Whatever works.
And don't play golf, you cousins.